Now I'd like to call upon Patrick Wilcox, and he will be reading some scripture, and receive him well. This is my son in whom I am well pleased.
Hi everyone, happy Sabbath. Today I'll be reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Patrick. Patrick looks extra happy these days because I fired him this week. He doesn't have to work with Dad anymore. No, he's starting a new career, and we're just transitioning, so he's moving on to a more prosperous career and that. But the words that he read, it is probably one of the most well-known scripture is Psalm 23 within churches, within Christianity and secular, because it can affect all of us as a group, but it's also a personal thing, and it's often used to comfort people. We can all turn there if you wish to Psalm 23. Begin, and I know most of you, and probably all of you, or most of you know the story of David. And it's been quite a joy to study this psalm. Discovered lots of things but David, where is this? David lived a life of great faith, and there was turmoil as one of the authors of Psalms. So in these six verses, it summarizes a lot of our lives as Christians, and as the elect, or as the very elect, once we have the context of the Bible and a good understanding of what we are doing and what our purpose is. The six verses in this psalm can guide us and get us through until we reach our goal. And it starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." So David here, who has been a shepherd all his life until he became king, he is speaking as a sheep, and he's acknowledging that the Lord is his shepherd. And he understands the role between a shepherd and a sheep. So he understood that role quite well, and he led his father's flock of sheep, and learning when he was at a young age, learning to skillfully lead that flock with some wisdom. And he's learned this from the scriptures as well, how to lead this flock. And he understood these metaphors that are throughout the Bible. So if there were predators amongst the flock, he understood that he can't send one of his sheep to go and protect them. He understood his role was to go and investigate and that if there was a predator and such. So David, being a shepherd, he must have spent much of his time overseeing the flock, possibly sitting on a rock on a hillside, overlooking vast valleys and green valleys and beautiful land before him. If you can just envision David as a young shepherd and those responsibilities, he didn't have any distractions such as like iPhones and social media and that. So he probably spent a lot of time meditating, praying and singing while sitting on that mountainside looking at his sheep and maybe even playing his lyre on that hillside. As he sat there day after day, probably realizing the parallels, he as a shepherd to his sheep and he being a sheep to his Lord Yahweh. As sitting there on the hillside doing these things, glorifying God, he would probably see one sheep that was drifting away. And he could be, as a shepherd, saying, oh, don't go there. Is he sitting on his rock? Oh, there he goes. He's wandering off as it catches his eye. And talking to that sheep under his voice, saying, you don't know where you're going. You're a sheep. Oh, here you go. There's predators out there. There's holes in the ground with snakes in them. So, and their sheep are very defenseless. They have no defenses. I think it's probably the only animal that doesn't have a defense in that. So how could this sheep expect to survive out there without the shepherd's staff and his rod? So the Lord is my shepherd continues with, I shall not want. So God is his shepherd. Yahweh is his shepherd. He acknowledges that. And he wants no other God. He wants nothing else but God the Father. So, and he acknowledges by saying that God alone is his God. So David shows great faith here in declaring his great God. And a good example of this childlike faith Jesus spoke about elsewhere in the Word is when David faced the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In that day there was a great fear amongst the army of Israel. So David heard them. There was, oh, what are we going to do? The skies, they're going to kill us. and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him a daughter and his daughter and give him exemption to taxes in the land. So there's great rewards for the one that will defeat Goliath. So when David spoke to the men who stood by him saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of God? Who is this guy? The armies of God. Now this is David speaking. 15 years old. He's the youngest of 8. He wasn't even allowed to be in the army. But yet, he understood he understood the relationship with a shepherd and the sheep, and he believed in God. He had no fear. He had no fear. Who is this guy? Against the army of my God? If God is for us, who could be against us? You know, that's the mentality that he had. Now, one of his brothers, the oldest brothers called Eliab, heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here, David? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" So now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man who grew up in wars." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep your father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered it delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now, I'm just going to reread Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." It's very difficult to make sheep lie down, I was reading earlier. They have four criteria that require for them to feel comfortable enough to lie down. And one of them is security, safety, and they need to be fed well, and they can't be aching because of insects that are growing into their dirty fur. And there's a couple more criteria as well. But he is speaking as a sheep, knowing that the Lord is his shepherd, and he wants no other God. God makes him lie down. He fills the criteria for him to lie down. "He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, so that he can lead me. He restores my soul so that he can lead me to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It's win-win. It's a win-win situation. "Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The staff to guide you along in your walk with God, just to nudge you, "Oh, stay away from there. Oh, this way." And a rod to fear off anything evil, maybe a little tap for our correction. And the valley. I mean, we've all walked through different valleys of deep, dark valleys, and And Al, I know you and I, we spoke last Sabbath about a deep, dark valley that almost took your life, you know, years ago. But you held on. The Lord is your shepherd, right? Yeah. And we all have our stories for that as well. So it's comforting to know that He is in control. And while you're walking through that dark valley of death, He goes on here, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." Prepare a table before us when we're in that dark place, whether you've lost a loved one or you're going through any kind of turmoil. And He anoints our head to the point where our cup overflows, runs over. "And surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."